2. Please stand with me as I read beginning at verse number 1 after our prayer. Father, we truly thank you today for this hour that brings us together, the holiness of it, the sacred. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." And verse 2-3 says, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, They departed into their own country another way. Thank you, and you may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, you can turn on a television or radio and get news from all over the world, and even from the distant planets. But long before there was a CNN, an ABC, a CBS, or a Fox network, God had his own broadcasting system. I call it heaven's satellite system. It was simply a star that beamed the appearance and the arrival of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They said, those wise men who had traveled from a far country, probably kings, as we'll see in a moment, they said, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Yesterday, I fancied myself a poet, which I am not, but I wrote these words under the title, The Star of Bethlehem. Long ago, the star appeared to wise men in the east. With haste, they came their gifts to bring and rode upon their beasts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh from their treasure replete, as before the Christ child they knelt to pay their homage at his feet. To worship Jesus, the wise men came from their country far away to bow in reverence at his name on that, his royal day. Others now, they must tell of this event divine, that his star in their hearts may with grace and glory shine. A star that beamed the arrival of the King. I'm happy to report to you that today his star still shines, and that wise men all over the world still seek him, to worship him, to adore him, to honor him, to bring their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The light that gave them direction across the world when traveling was a difficult task still lights the way to God and reminds me of what our Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This beautiful story reminds us of how Jesus came. It reminds us of when he came. And it reminds us, most importantly of all, why he came. Why Bethlehem? Why shepherds? Why wise men? Why a stable? Why a manger? Why adoration? Why gifts? Because, ladies and gentlemen, God had given the greatest of all gifts in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. What are you going to get for Christmas? What are you going to give others during this season? Well, you will never, never understand the meaning of it all until you have received the gift of God in the person of Jesus Christ. The birth of the King. Just some simple thoughts. Number one, he came in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. The Bible, 66 books of it, 1189 chapters, is one-third prophecy. All through the Old Testament, the prophets made mention of the coming of Jesus Christ. That's why we can, with Daniel, know about the time. With Micah, we can know about the place. With Moses and the writings of Genesis, we can know who he's going to be. For example, the very first mention of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, he is referred to as the seed of the woman. Genesis 3:15, where Moses wrote, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that prophecy was made thousands of years before the event. And then about 750 years before his birth, Isaiah took the inspired pen in hand, and he wrote in his 7th chapter, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now there's an interesting word. Emmanuel means God with us. God, if you can imagine this, if you can in any way conceive of the idea that the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who stacked up all the mountains and digged out all the oceans and swept the desert with his wind, that God came to us in the person of a baby. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God wrapped up in swaddling clothes. God in a human form. God as man, the Creator becoming the creature. The Most High becoming the Most Nigh. God becoming man. Emmanuel, God with us. Then I read in the book of Isaiah as well in chapter 9, verse number 6, one verse that gives us the whole spectrum of his humanity and his deity. And we must remember this. Jesus Christ was just as much God as though he had never become man. And he was just as much man in his humanity as though he had never been God. What a marvelous combination when heaven and earth, God and humankind all met together in the person of a little baby cast upon his mother's breast. Totally dependent upon her. We take for granted what it was like traveling almost 90 miles from Nazareth, their home, down to Bethlehem. God put the wheels of the Roman Empire in motion to bring to pass the fulfillment of one passage in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Bethlehem is pinpointed as the birthplace of our Lord. And yonder in Rome, the Caesar Augustus sat on his throne and said, "I'm going to tax the whole world." And little did he realize that he was fulfilling Scripture when he caused everyone to go to the city of their nativity and there to register for the taxation and the enrollment. Isn't the Word of God a marvelous book? But listen to this, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Now think about that for a moment. That is not anything unusual, a birth of a child. We had three babies born in our church family this week. The Randy Pecks, the Darrell Cokers, and the Trevor Jones. They all three have brand new babies. Some of them big, all of them ready to fight, whatever, take after their grandparents. But I'm saying there's not anything so unusual. Now watch this about the birth of a child. All of our hospitals today will register the exact time, the exact date that these babies are born. The miraculous thing was not in the delivery, but in the conception. When the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and the angel said, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Heights. Virgin born. But just the statement, a child is born, is not out of the ordinary. But look at that next statement. Unto us, a son is given. There's his deity. A child is born, his humanity. A son is given, his deity. Now listen. The Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulder. Did you know one of these days all the governments of the world are going to be right there in his hands? And he's going to rule and reign the nations of earth with a rod of iron and break them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We're talking about keeping the peace in Bosnia. All of my life, I've heard them talk about, well, most of my life, the United Nations. I was born a little while before the United Nations was, and I kind of wish they'd never been born, because they've never done anything but drain the coffers of the United States government. Now, you may not agree with that, but that's all right. You have a privilege to be wrong about something. I mean, we ought to just stand on our own once in a while. As a nation that's sovereign unto God, and not give everything we have to the United. That's another subject. But I started to say, all of my life I've heard presidents, vice presidents, governors, mayors, people, preachers talk about this wonderful peace that this world is going to have when the United Nations brings all the nations together. We've had nothing but war. Did you know there are 39 wars going on in the world right now as I speak? That there's coming a day when the Prince of Peace shall rise with healing in his wings, and the glory of God shall cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, and Jesus Christ shall reign from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold the islands with their kings, and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the Prince He came, I said, in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. The wise men who came, there's been a lot of speculation about them. How many were there? Three dozen, 300? Who knows? But I want to give you a verse of Scripture that in my mind identifies them as kings. Isaiah chapter number 60 and verse 3 says, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." I believe that refers to the birth of Christ. And I believe that refers to kings coming to him to pay their homage. And then I think it foreshadows a greater coming, when in the end of all of God's plans and programs for all the nations of the earth, all nations, all kings, all potentates, all rulers, all tyrants shall bow before him. In fact, the Bible says every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. King shall come to thy rising, to his birth, and to his kingdom. I say first he came in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. The prophets were right on target. Galatians 4:4 says, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman," there's Genesis 3:15, "made of a woman made under the law." The exact time when the fullness of the time was come. We do not know when in the annals of history and eternity God set all of these things in motion, but we do know that God's always on time. And by the way, in your life, you think he's running late. You think he should have come last week to you and solved all of your problems, or last month, or last year. But God's always on time. He's never a day early. He's never a day late. He's always. Wait on the Lord, and he shall renew thy strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. God's going to come at the right time into your life and do whatever you need to have done in your life, but learn to wait on him. The prophets gave advance notice that Jesus Christ would come as the Savior of the world. Acts 10:43 says, to give him, or to him give all the prophets. Are you listening? To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. If you turn to Genesis or Exodus or Leviticus or Jeremiah or Isaiah or Revelation or Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or wherever, you'll find this is true. I find my Lord in the Bible wherever I choose to look. He's the theme of the Bible, the center and the heart of the book. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily Fair. Wherever I open the Bible, the Lord of the book is there. Secondly, he came from the heart of his father to the bosom of his mother. Turn to Luke chapter 1 very quickly, please, and I'll read just two or three verses to get you on the right track. From the heart of his father to the bosom of his mother, Jesus Christ came. Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Right from the heart of God to the bosom of Mary, from the heart of his father, Jesus was God's only begotten Son, the only Son whom he begat. Now all of us are sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ, but Jesus was God's only begotten Son, the only Son whom he fathered from the heart of the Father to the bosom of his mother, born in heaven without a mother, born on earth without a father, born in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. A third thing I want you to notice, he came from the riches of a palace in the city of heaven to the rags of a stable in the city of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is an out-of-the-way place, about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Who would have ever thought that he would have come to Bethlehem? Why not Jerusalem, the capital city, a royal palace? Because Micah, 750 years before he was born, I've already given you that verse, Micah 5:2 said he would be born in Bethlehem, which, by the way, means house of bread. And so Jesus came out of the house of bread to say, I am the bread of life. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Bethlehem. From the city of heaven to the city of Bethlehem. I gave you a few moments ago in the opening of the service a part of the passage that it was in the city of Bethlehem that they came. I'm reminded of Dr. John R. Rice's experience with a publishing company a few years ago. Dr. John R. Rice had written a book on heaven. And in the manuscript, everywhere that heaven was mentioned, it was started with a capital letter. So when the publishers read it and reviewed it and sent it back for his final review, they had blue-lined every capital letter, H. They had struck it out and put a small H. And Dr. Rice called the publisher on the telephone and said, "Now, I want you to understand one thing. I'm not going to let your proofreaders change heaven from a capital letter to a small letter." And they said, "Well, now, we only start cities with capital letters." And Dr. Rice said, "What do you call heaven?" He said, "Is Dallas a city?" "Well, heaven is a city. Why, it has streets of gold. It has gates of pearl. Jesus is there. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God." Heaven is a city this morning. And my home is there. And my investment is there. And my mother is there. And my daddy is there. And my Jesus is there. And one day I'll be there. And I'm going to start it with a capital H. It's a city. Just as much as Bethlehem was a city. As Fort Worth is a city. As Dallas is a city. Heaven is a city. He came from the city of heaven to the city of Bethlehem. Number four. He came unto his own, but his own rejected him. The commentaries in John chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but unto as many as received him." Thank God that's in there. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You can be a child of God. You can be a son of God today by believing Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again to save you. Old man Isaiah, I call on him again. And from the 53rd chapter, he tells us he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Did you know God laid on Jesus your sins one day? My sins, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. I notice again, he came to redeem a fallen race. All men are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, not even one. All of us are sinners. By nature, we're sinners. We go astray as soon as we be born, speaking lies. All we like sheep have gone astray. All of us are sinners, but Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Luke put it this way in his 19th chapter, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." From the cradle to the cross, all the way, everything Jesus ever did, he said about it, "For this cause came I into the world. No man taketh my life from me, I lay it down freely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's what Christmas is all about. God so loved the world, the whole inhabited earth, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, aren't you glad it's that way? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One day, that little baby that was born, laid on his mother's breast in a cold stable after traveling, after her travels for 90 miles through the cold, through the treacherous journey, fighting off wild beasts, robbers, bandits, and all the rest. That little baby that was laid in a manger and cast upon his mother's breast. Grew up to be a little boy in a temple, and they asked him questions that astonished them when he answered them. And he asked them questions that they could not answer. That little boy grew up to be a man. And one day he went into a garden. Down on his knees he went and prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And all of a sudden, a band of soldiers came in and arrested him, led him away to Pilate's hall, led him to Herod and back to Pilate. And then they led him away to Calvary. And the Bible says, and there they crucified him. And sitting down, they watched him. And they heard him cry, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. And he died for you. Your sins. And mine. And they laid him in a tomb. But on the morning of the third day, he arose! He arose! He arose triumphant over the grave. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. I'm glad he's alive today. You see, it's not his wonderful birth, nor his beautiful life, nor his magnificent teachings, but his sacrificial death upon the cross that opens the door of heaven to you and to me. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. It all began in a stable, in a manger, in Bethlehem. It ended through an open tomb, ascension, intercession, coming again, just for you. Birth of the King.